I know the power of believing in myself as I stand up for principle. This is Dr. Herbert LaBarley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you the instant inspiration for this afternoon, or this evening as we call it. I know the power of believing in myself as I stand up for principle. When's the last time you stood up for principle? When's the last time you stood up for being yourself and liking yourself and enjoying yourself? When's the last time? And you probably could count it on your fingers, you know, like, you know, one little finger, maybe not even that. But when is the last time? Are you at all times as honest as you can be? Are you at all times as loving as you can be? Are you at all times as truthful as you can be? What is the condition of your mother's health? What is the condition of your personal health? What is the condition of your physical body? Is your physical body supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Is your mind alert and crisp and sharp and vital and dynamic? If you have a tendency to say no, or if you have a tendency to say, well, it could be better, then you're lying. You're lying. You are believing in appearances. You are believing in the illusions of the world that we live in, and you're empowering those illusions and telling those illusions that they are entirely correct. Now, is this what you mean? Is this what you mean to do? Is this what you mean to do? Huh? No, never, never, never. But we do. We do. We look out there, well, for instance, we ask questions. And then people, instead of answering our question, they go around the barn. This did not happen, but I'll say that it happened. I asked Ellen, I said, Ellen, how many shoes are there in front of the house? And she said, well, Sylvia has her shoes there, and Heinz has his shoes there, and Gertrude has her shoes there, and Ingeborg has hers, and I have mine, and you have your shoes there. And I said, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. The question was, how many shoes are in the front of the house? How many shoes are standing out in front of the house? Well, now, you take the number of names that I gave you, and you multiply that by two or three, depending upon the number of feet they have. And then you come up with the number of shoes. Now, I did not introduce myself in whose shoes they were. I was not the slightest bit concerned. And neither should you be. Always answer the question. Follow the principle. Now, well, this really wasn't important. Oh, it is important. Every question asked is a question you put into consciousness to be asked. I don't ask these questions because I need to know the answer. I ask these questions because I want to give you an opportunity to answer them as clearly as you can. And if you answer these questions in an unclear manner by telling me, oh, the so-and-sos and so-and-so and so-and-so, not giving the number, then you have failed the test. Now, if I say, help, help, will you help me? You say, oh, sure, glad to. Now, yeah, I'll get around to it. You're no help at all. You said you'd help, but you don't help now. You see, all time is now. Whenever a question is asked, it wants an answer right now. We spoke about this before, about children who ask their parents for answers to questions, and the children ended up getting the answer, you know, ultimately, but it was not what the parents thought the children wanted to know. It was what the parents thought they wanted to know. The old question goes back to, Mommy, where was I born? And Mommy goes through the birth question of the egg and the sperm and all that good stuff. And finally she gets to the point and she says, and you were born in St. John's Hospital. Oh, goody, that's where Johnny was born, you know. That was what he wanted to know. But if you had been reluctant about giving him the information, you might never have gotten finally to St. John's Hospital. You might have stayed far back in the informational age of things that he, at the moment, was not interested in. But you plant the seeds of honesty and integrity. You plant the seeds of answering the question that is asked. not what you want to answer them. But you answer the question in the fullness of the question. Mommy, where was I born? Son, you were born in heaven. And the stork brought you down and laid you gently on the special little bed we had for you, you know. And it is so wonderful. Mommy, can we have the stork bring a brother for me?
Sure.
He should be my age, and then we can play together. Well, the stork doesn't deliver like that. He would have to sort of go around the world a couple more times while the baby was aging. And then while he did that, you'd be aging. So that wouldn't help the situation at all, would it? Well, see, illogical. Fairy tale stories that we make up. And we get ourselves deeper and deeper in debt with the ideas of not answering the question clearly and simply as we understand. Of course, maybe our parents told us we were brought by the stork. Raise your hand. How many of you thought maybe you were brought by the stork until you heard later better? You know, over in Europe, oh my goodness, the storks are very busy in Europe. And they come down the chimney with the babies. What a dirty way to bring that baby into the world. Goodness sakes. His clean white diaper, maybe he doesn't have diapers when he comes down the chimney. Maybe he just lands in a bucket of soot at the bottom there, and then his mother comes out there and shakes him out and puts him under some fresh water and said, well, what have we got here? Oh, it's a boy. It's a girl. But you see, these are the games we play. And it's a charming game. Fantasy is a charming game. Games of fairy tales and things like that are charming games. Sleeping Beauty. She's sleeping inside of a glass coffin, and she has to wait for Prince Charming to come along and kiss her. Well, now, it's kind of difficult for him to kiss her through that glass coffin. So it just happens that he comes along, and he says, wow, what a babe. She is gorgeous. And so he lifts up the glass coffin, and he says, oh, would it be wonderful if you were here with me now? And he's inclined to give her a smooch. And so he gives her a smooch, and she twinkles her eyelids at him and says, well, it sure took you long enough. But then they live very happily ever after, remember? All fairy tales live happily ever after. And that's the way life is, too. Now, why don't you create your life living happily ever after by answering the questions? Now, Ellen, how many shoes are in front of the house?
10.
10 shoes. Now, was that so difficult? Now, why didn't you tell me who was supposed to be in those shoes? That's not the question. Now, could you have ad-libbed, if you wished, and said, 10 are the most perfectly formed shoes you ever saw in your life. They're shoes of masters. They're shoes of... But you see, then you would be expanding, and you'd be getting away from the actual question. And when you get away from the question, then you get into trouble. Now, what would be the next question that would be asked? You would create me asking you, what kind of shoes are they? Are they European shoes, or are they American shoes, or are they Mexican shoes? What kind of shoes are they? And then you'd create me asking another question. You'd say, well, whose shoes are they? Is one pair belonging to the Dalai Lama? You know? Is one pair belonging to the Pope? Is one pair belonging to Ernest Holmes, you know, and Charles Fillmore, and Mary Baker Eddy, and a few other outstanding beings in the philosophy field? Maybe even, who? St. Thomas Aquinas, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Francis of Assisi, you know. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe from you. Maybe from you. And you are just as wonderful and important as any of these names that we mention. But how do they trigger your mind? When I say the Dalai Lama, what do you think? Do you think of sandals or shoes? Or you think like Diego, yeah. Or do you think that they're just normal, ordinary shoes? And the Dalai Lama, what does the Dalai Lama always have on his face?
A smile.
The Dalai Lama always has a smile on his face. Why?
He's happy.
He's happy. Why is he happy with the world's conditions the way it is?
He's in himself.
He is happy because he sees the world in its truth. He sees it in balance, in harmony, in right action. He's happy within himself first. Yes, that's true. But he sees the world. Harmony, peace, love. Now, why don't you see it that way? Why don't we see it that way? Why do we see the appearances? We see the appearances because we're hung up on appearances. The sooner we get unhung up on appearances, the sooner we're going to have a real cool life. Really nice. Now, what would you think if the Dalai Lama came to visit us here? Would you bow down to him in his tradition? Or would you stand up to him and say, "Welcome, so nice of you," or give him a big hug? Yeah, I'm sure he'd like that too. And then he'd come walking in here, he'd leave his shoes at the door, and you'd say, "Well, Dalai Lama, how about a hamburger, you know?" And he'd say, "I love American hamburgers. Is this one going to be filled with, you know, all the goodies that McDonald's have?" "Yes, and then some, you know. I like hot dogs too, you know. I don't normally get them. We have a very vegetarian diet, a very special diet, and so I miss all these fun things that are supposed to kill my body." But do you think they'd kill my body?
Ah, no.
Why not?
Because his thinking is so pure.
No, you're right. His thinking is so pure, so it would not kill his body. But his thought doesn't have that in there. You see, pure thinking can be about pure fat, you know, and pure things that are not harmonious to your body. Because that's pure, too. And something, "I don't like to have unnatural vitamins. I want natural vitamins." Well, what do you think the world is? When is the world unnatural? On vitamins that are created out of vitamins and minerals and what have you, they're as natural as anything else. And are your bones natural? And if they take part of your bones and make calcium out of it or something like that, you know, from cows or pigs or horses or sheep or whatever, that's a perfectly acceptable thing too. We want to name some things good and bad sometimes, and in the process, we get into trouble. I know the power of believing in myself as I stand up for principle. And I stand up for principle that my body is the temple of the living spirit. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect right now. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. The day we come to that conclusion for ourselves, what wonders and what miracles will we experience? You know what will happen? The day that you come to that conclusion, the day that we come to that conclusion for ourselves, we'll come to it, but we won't remember that we were ever any different than the conclusion we have come to. Because if we can visualize ourselves as we were before that conclusion, then we are back there where that before the conclusion was. Follow that?
Yes.
We have to be so careful with our thinking, because our thinking is very powerful. I know the power of believing in myself, and I stand for principle. If I'm going to say 2 times 2 is 5, 2 times 2 is 5, I'm going to act like 2 times 2 is 5. I'm going to believe that 2 times 2 is 5. And anyone who doesn't give me whatever 2 times 2 is 5 is equal to, I'm not going to think they're honest. Whereas my terminology may not be harmonious with the way the world thinks about these things. Now, what is the shortest distance between two points?
Straight line. A curve.
Can you make up your mind, Leigh?
Yeah.
Can you make up your mind?
Yeah.
Look, the shortest distance between two points has been a straight line for years and years and years and years and years. Until what? Mr. Einstein came along.
And said it's
And then he said the shortest distance between two points is a curved line. Now, really, from a physics point of view, that's incorrect. Because cutting off the bottom of a circle or something like that certainly brings you closer to it. You cannot deny that the radius and the diameter and other lines of such nature exist. You can pretend that they don't. But why did Einstein come up with this statement? Why did he come up and say that the new principle is that the shortest distance between two points is a curved line? Because we live in a curved universe. We do not live in a straight line universe as much as we like to think we do. It is not impossible, but it's improbable that we would ever draw a straight line. We can have pretend straight lines, but a straight line does not exist. And you say, well, it seems like it should. It seems like it should, you know. That's a principle. Well, who says it's a principle? And why can't we change the principles when we want to? We can put new principles in motion if we want to. Do you want to put a new principle in motion? Do you want to come up with a new attitude of mind? Do you want to come up with the attitude of mind, I live in my eternally perfect ideal of spirit, mind, and body? Sounds good, doesn't it? Okay. Now, what have you been living with up to this moment? And I don't want you to answer me. But what you've been living with up to this moment is you have to take pills, or you have to go to the doctor, or you have to check on your body, you have to check your blood pressure, you have to do this, you have to do that. You see, as long as we have those things, as beneficial as they are to the human relative world, then we remain locked, tied, living in the human relative world. And if that's where you want to live, that's okay. But the moment you can walk away from that, that's great. The question is, why do a lot of very remarkable people like the Dalai Lama and the Pope and many other spiritual leaders from the Hindus and Christians and so forth, why is it that they have problems? Well, Jesus never had a problem. Come on now. How short is your memory? How did they crown Jesus? Bitte? How did they crown Jesus?
With thorns.
Did he bleed?
Yes. Apparently.
No. You're right. It appeared that way. But he put on the show. And what happened when they shoved the sword in his side? Dang! Out came in the Lake Michigan, you know, the Pacific Ocean. And it appeared as though all of his body juices were out. And then they put him in a tomb. And what happened to him in the tomb? 3 days.
He got up.
When he came out, it was a different man. He didn't take the same body out that he took in. He took a spiritualized body, if you want to use that term. And it was a beautiful thing. And how did the Buddha leave this mortal coil? By eating poison food. And we can go on with many other illustrations that I don't choose to remember, but they're all the same. Now, is it because they were bad, or they didn't follow principle, or that they didn't want people to worship them?
Mm-hmm.
You see, people have a tendency to worship someone who is so rather remarkable. And rather, if people would, if worship is a word, worship the teaching, the philosophy, the concept, the direction that the teacher would take you. That's the beautiful thing. So always be sure that whenever you worship a person, you're going to kill him. Because he cannot die as a, or he cannot disappear as a saintly figure. The Catholic Church doesn't go and canonize people until long after they've said kadu, you know. Long after it. And that is only until they have a chance to check the guy's background and make sure he didn't make any stupid remarks or any dumb things. And, you know, so it goes. So think about these things. Think about these things. I know the power of believing in myself as I stand for principle. Are you ready under all circumstances to stand up for principle, even if it means your death, even if it means someone is going to take advantage of you, someone's going to hurt you? You have to be very careful, because when you say, I stand up for principle, which is what you say is your life reality, you better be very careful, because standing up for principle may be dangerous for your health. So think on these things, but don't worry about them too much.
No.
Because life goes on, and we have a lot of good times, and there's a lot of wonderful things meeting us every turn of the way, every step of the way. So Be yourself and have fun, and know as you are yourself and have fun, I'm standing there laughing and enjoying your having fun, and I say, I love you, I love you, I love you.